awareness and conscious contact. Karja, the floor is all yours.
Thank you, Mahima. Hi, everyone. From a beautiful cold morning in South Africa, my name is Katya and I'm codependent, and I'm so glad to be here. I've been listening also to the previous topic, and thank you, Melanie. I think it beautifully ties together. And so what I had in mind of sharing with you today is a bit about my personal journey into recovery, which started with mindfulness practice. And I would also like to invite you, and there's no, don't feel obliged, you don't have to, but I'd love to invite you later for a little bit of practice as maybe one way of getting connection with ourselves and possibly with like a spaciousness where we might be able to find a little bit of our higher power of our own understanding, which once again, you know, there's no, this is going to happen and you have to follow along. This is just an invitation because it's something which worked for me. And we've heard in the previous share that there's multiple ways of like getting in contact with our higher power. And this is simply just one way. So when I moved to South Africa eight and a half years ago, and I was confronted with a lot of obstacles, which all of a sudden my exercised self-will didn't work anymore. It was like I was faced with things of government, you know, visa issues and all of that. And whatever I tried, it was out of my control. And that was a very hard time for me because living in Germany, usually that was the way I got along with. At that point, I had no idea I was codependent. So already from my education and all of that, I had heard of mindfulness practice, and I really got deeply into the practice. And something happened. Something changed for me there, and I wasn't quite sure what it was. And now from today, what I can sense is what happened there, I was able to regulate my nervous system. So being codependent, my nervous system is always on high alert, you know, very observant and very like, always in a slight fight or flight, mostly flight in my case, state. And going through the day, that kind of sets me up for easily falling in all onto my patterns of codependency, which I used to cope in my childhood. And at the point, I wasn't aware of that. But what the mindfulness practice did for me and the meditation did for me is like regulating my nervous system a little bit down, a little bit taking the edge off, that I was able to get through the day by being less reactive. And that was already like a miracle, because that was something I hadn't encountered before. However, at that point, I didn't know what was happening. I just noticed, okay, the day somewhat goes a little bit smoother, a little bit calmer. And then I embarked on actually wanting to become a mindfulness teacher and share this, what I've experienced with others. And in the training, I met a priest. And it's a priest here in South Africa. It's like one of the churches which can be kind of traditional and somewhat conservative, but however, he wasn't. He was so open-minded, and I ended up like coincidentally, if there are any things like coincidences, at a lake there at the retreat center, and we kind of met, and it was like, you know, I spent my lunch break kind of quietly, and but then I met him, and I just suddenly opened up to him and shared all my disappointment I have had with religion in my childhood. And what I hoped to find within the church, which I would understand like the sense of connection, the sense of belonging, you know, to a group. And I can just show up as I am authentically without having to put on any mask. That was greatly disappointed. And I shared that with him, and I like just burst out of, you know, burst into tears. And some of you might be familiar with that. You know, if you like keep it all in and we push it all down, sometimes a little thing can trigger us and we just burst into tears. And yes, there's grief, but it's also like a sign of our stress response. of like not just being able to like push it down anymore, all of that, which basically has been my life, you know, being cut off completely from my feelings and emotions, and not even knowing really what most of them were and even what they felt like in the body. So, and that was kind of a memory. And now I'm like, okay, that's just interesting that I kind of confess that to a priest of all people, right? The journey continued, and within the training, I had a supervisor. And after the training finished, I actually phoned her up and said, there's this visit coming up to Germany to, again, after a couple of years, meet my family of origin, and I'm not coping. I'm so anxious. I'm like, even in the WhatsApp chat with them, you know, like some questions come up of what to plan when I'm there, you know, maybe to go on a joint holiday. And I was not able to voice what I wanted. I was not able to voice what I needed. And it triggered me back into so much anxiety that I was like, no, I need help with this. And I was actually the first time I really acknowledged that, like, I am not able to figure this out with myself. Well, I can't do this. And I reached out to her, because with her I already had built a sense of trust. And we started working together. And at some point, she started to explain to me the whole concept of codependency and suggested I was codependent. And she herself is a recovering codependent. And I listened to her, and it started to sink in, and I started to read the literature. And it took still another half a year until I walked into the rooms and actually joined a meeting. And I'm so impressed, and have deep respect by everyone on this call, in this event, like being quite early into recovery and already sharing, because that would have not been my go-to, you know, in the first couple of months at CODA, because I was just so scared. I was like, I was listening, and if I shared something, I would, you know, like share it very thought through, very rational. It was like, this is what I'm going to say, and this is what I'm going to end, and that's it. And I'm so glad to actually report has changed completely. And that's the gift of recovery, that we trust to actually show up as ourselves, as we are, with everything what is there. And we can put down those masks and peel that onion and rediscover our true self or higher self. And that is what the mindfulness practice has been for me. It has been a tool initially to actually getting back into touch with myself, with what it feels like to be in this body, how emotions feel, where I feel them in my body. And then through that, through getting back into contact with myself, also opening that door to get back into contact with the higher power of my own understanding. And I had been completely cut off from both my sense of self, true self, and my higher power. So, and now going through the working the steps, the mindfulness practice has been a tool to continue to open that door, to deepen my experience of that sense of self and what comes with it in the human form, like my emotions and my body and my thoughts. And I love like the kind of what was shared before, because a couple of times it was mentioned like the concept of our higher power. And I think the question was asked, what does it feel like? And that's exactly the question we are, you know, I feel I'm invited to embark on when I do mindfulness practice. It's about, but how does it actually feel to have that connection, to make that conscious contact? And in step 11, it's actually, you know, it's quite a bit. I mean, I just read it out to you again, for all of us to just remember. So it's through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. So first, we need to actually make space, find a room to go into, to actually have the opportunity to get into conscious contact. And I just like to quote Eckhart Tolle, who has a beautiful kind of metaphor or picture when it comes to what we're actually doing, right? Because essentially we are not doing something. We're stepping out of doing. And he takes a cross, and not necessarily like the Christian cross, just any cross, maybe like even a coordinate system, you know, if you want to imagine that, to explain that. So if you think of the line lying down, like as a timeline, that's like the doing mode. And that's where we're usually stuck in, you know, we're in constant doing, and we can see our thought patterns and what happens in our thought as one way of doing in some way. And then the vertical axis coming down, that's the being state. That's when we step out of doing and we actually become present and aware of this very moment. And that is, for my understanding, where we are able to make conscious contact, where we can meet the higher power of our own understanding. And where I think it, or feel it starts, where we can make contact to ourselves first, because often that's something certainly I have completely lost. So when we do that, it's actually very simple. We don't have to do much, and you can do it right now while I'm speaking, you know, just becoming aware of where you're sitting, how you're sitting, maybe what the surrounding is right now. You know, for me, if I now look out the window, it's a blue, clear sky. I can hear some birds in the background. And, you know, we often come back to the breath. That can be part of that, but it doesn't necessarily have to, you know. You can just put your attention on, for instance, sounds or like parts of the body, like, you know, feeling what your hands feel like right now. Feeling your butt on the floor, on the seat where you're sitting. And just sensing into that is like the first step to start to making contact again with ourselves. And it's so simple, but we keep forgetting it in our busy doing, you know, when we like doing. So when I talk of mindfulness practice, I understand it as a relation practice, because we practice to be in relation with ourselves, others, and the world as a whole. And that sounds familiar, right? Because that's the dis-ease. That's the dis-ease of codependency, of having struggled to be in a healthy kind of relationship with ourselves, others, the world as a whole. And, you know, you may add there a higher power. And a couple of times it was mentioned now in the shares, you know, that can be, you know, you can use nature, for instance, as a beautiful way of getting back into contact. And we're so alienated, you know, the way we live very often from that, from all of that. And that can be a gateway too. So I like to share one beautiful experience where I feel I met God again after a long time. And that was at the end of that training I shared with you about. And it was after a week of silence retreat. And it was at the coast of South Africa. And it was whale seasons. And a little group of the training group went to the shore after. The retreat center was like right at the shore, but it was behind the hills. So we actually never saw the ocean. So we went to the ocean after that week of silence. And you know, now we had the opportunity to actually talk again, to actually like communicate and share our experiences. But that kind of need was like completely gone. And we were just like standing at the ocean for like over an hour, just watching the whales do their thing, you know, like moving up and down the shore. And for me, that was just like a moment of total bliss. You know, it was like those moments where the world kind of stands still and, you know, It's all good. And actually moves me to tears now speaking about it, because it's such a precious memory of joy and just contentment and just, you know, everything's okay. And I treasure that in my heart, because it's especially for those moments where I kind of lost that contact, and they do still come over and over again. But just to be able to remember in those moments, yes, there's this now where I feel like disconnected and again alone, somewhat isolated, abandoned. But I remember there's also those days, and I will get through this as well, you know, like one day at a time. And if a day is too long, just one moment at a time. And then again, if we practice that, we're back at the mindfulness practice of like getting back into this moment, which whatever we experience in this moment, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that can be that there are uncomfortable emotions like anger, like fear, anxiety, and it can feel very overwhelming. And especially because we have, you know, generally, speaking for myself again, I have learned no tools how to deal with that in my childhood. So initially, to like open the door of actually getting into feeling can be very overwhelming. And I'd be very like understanding around that mindfulness practice is not for everyone, and that's okay. Mindfulness practice might be something for you maybe later on, but not right now, and that's okay too. And that can have several reasons, but I'd just like to share one of them with you, is just because, you know, like research and all of that has become very conscious around that fact that we store trauma of our upbringing and other experiences in our body. And when we become still and quiet, that can come up again. So it's always the invitation to make the practice your own. And when you experience like agitation, you know, like feelings you feel like you can't handle, you know, you are most likely out of your comfort zone, back into in a trauma response. And we do not want to push through that, because all that does is re-traumatizing yourself. The word of complex PTSD has also been mentioned quite a lot. And a lot of the stuff of our childhood is also like encapsulated. We don't even really quite know, you know, we just might sense something in the body right now, which can lead us back there. And, you know, we don't want to go back there completely. You know, it can be very healing if you've established that for yourself in your recovery, to kind of exit that, but only from like a grounded place right here and right now, you know, like from that adult matured part of yourself, and not just become completely your inner child again, because that, you know, will be overwhelming. So with that in mind, I like to invite you now to a brief practice. Well, if I say brief, it'll be like 15, 20 minutes. And if you feel not up to it, that's absolutely fine. Then just make yourself a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, you know, and maybe stretch or something like that. Whatever is now the thing you like to do to look after yourself, because essentially that's what we practice. We practice self-care. And that can be in this very moment to actually do exactly that and not participate in the practice. However, if you're curious and you'd like to try, I'd like to invite you now to find a position which you find suitable for yourself this morning. And if you've been sitting in front of the computer for quite a while now, the invitation is also to maybe find another place, you know, like look around in the room, you know, maybe you've got a beautiful sofa behind you like I do, or you want to sit on the floor if you've been sitting on a chair, you know, either way, that's absolutely fine. And you might even want to lie down if that's something which you feel comfortable with. And also camera, you're welcome to switch your camera off, because especially if we want to close our eyes, maybe to go inward, to get into contact with ourselves, having a camera on can be feel quite exposing. And, you know, that's not what we want. So I brought my singing bowl, and that's just like, you know, one of the tools you can use, you don't have to use to do a meditation, not at all. It's just lovely to kind of start and end a meditation to just know, you know, now it starts and now it ends. And also it's got a beautiful sound, and I hope it rings through nicely on Zoom, because sometimes that's a bit of a challenge. And the invitation is for now just to listen to the sound of the bell and just to listen to how this sound just subsides. And when you found your comfortable position, you may close your eyes now if that feels comfortable, or just simply find a spot in front of you and then maybe just slightly blur your focus. So it makes it maybe a little easier to go inside and to get in contact with what is here right now for you. And at the same time, you're always welcome during the meditation to open your eyes, to look around, to do what you feel is comfortable for you. Just to know that's like, this is intended to become your safe space, and nothing is with any pressure or any have-tos attached or you must. And then the invitation is to gently get into contact with ourselves, meaning bringing the focus of attention somewhat inside. And maybe there's some immediate things which draw your attention to it, like maybe some sensations in the body, you know, like stiff muscles, pain, somewhat fatigue. Or maybe you also notice emotions, like maybe the sense of anxiety, frustration, boredom, or maybe a sense of joy or curiosity. And then there's also usually always this realm of thoughts which go round and round. So you might notice immediate thoughts coming up in the center of your attention, like maybe comments on this practice, on this day, comments on what emotions or body sensations are there. Or maybe your mind's already wandered into the future of what comes later today, maybe what you have to do or some topics which come up on this event. Or maybe your mind is also wandering back into the past, like just reconsidering some things of what happened last week, last year, or even longer ago. And with mindfulness, we just practice to notice what is there just in this moment without wanting to push anything of that away. And even the thoughts, often is said, you know, you just have to stop your thoughts, which actually, we can't really do. But what we can do is just to notice the thoughts which come into our minds, and there might be frightening thoughts, there might be amusing thoughts. And it's just good to know that we are not our thoughts, we just have thoughts. And in the same way, we do have emotions. We are not our emotions. And it can be helpful to find a kind of anchor while we witness all of that, what's going on in our awareness. And that anchor can be the breath. And I just like to invite you now to try out a couple I suggest. And if you find one, or when you find one which kind of suits you, to stay with that for the remaining time of the meditation as your anchor in this moment. So first, I like to invite you to explore the breath for a little while. And without needing to change it, without needing to breathe in a particular way, you're just invited to notice how the breath comes and goes in this very moment. Maybe it is kind of fast and activated, or maybe slow, flowing. Maybe you can sense the breath deep into the belly, or maybe more superficial, like in the chest area. And there might be one particular point in your body where you can sense the breath most vividly. And that might be the nostrils. That is, if you breathe through your nose. The throat. Or maybe the chest. Or the belly. And the invitation is for the next couple of moments just to stay with that felt sensation of the breath in your body as good as you can. And again, there's no right or wrong, just this gentle, friendly, maybe curious, getting in touch with that sensation in the body. And maybe you notice how it's possible to stay with that for a little while. But it's also possible that you notice how your mind starts wandering again. Or there's a sensation in the body which draws attention to it. And that's all fine. Like, noticing when attention wanders is as much part of the practice as actually keeping our attention in one place. So how about just, like, maybe with a bit of surprise and curiosity, noticing, oh, okay, your attention just wandered. And then gently bring it back to the breath. And again, if you feel like you need to move your body in any way, please feel free to do that at any time. And maybe you want to bring then a bit of attention to that movement when you move the body. Maybe shift your posture a little bit to get a more comfortable posture. So now let's leave the breath behind for this moment, unless you found already it's giving you some sort of comfort and you want to stay with it. But otherwise, the invitation is to explore a different sensation in the body as an anchor. And the invitation is now to move to the sensations in your hands. And maybe you find your hands lying on your thighs, or maybe touching each other in your lap, or maybe on your knees. And just noticing that, like, where are the hands and what does it feel like? Maybe the contact to each other, or the contact to the body on through the legs. And then you might notice temperature, cold, warmth, maybe touching between the fingers. Maybe there is a tingling, or maybe there's a sensation of numbness, or maybe there's no particular sensation at all. And that's all fine. It's all welcome. Again, we're just noticing what's already here in this moment. And then gently moving along to try out another anchor, which now is the weight of your body on the surface you're sitting or lying on. So you can sense into that contact your body makes to the floor, to the earth beneath you. Or maybe you like to experiment a little bit with just giving a little bit more of your body weight to the ground, like the sense of being carried, being held by the ground beneath you. And how's it maybe with each out-breath to give up a little bit more of this weight of the body you're carrying? And if you feel like now this is the anchor you like to stay with, then feel free to do so. Otherwise, I invite you to move along a little further to the sensation in the feet. And especially maybe if you're sitting on a chair, you might want to sense into this contact your feet make to the ground. But it's also possible if you're lying down or sitting cross-legged on the floor. Which sensations can you experience here? Like contact points to the ground, the sensation of maybe clothes on the skin if you wear socks or shoes. Or maybe if you're cuddling under a blanket. And maybe there's any sense of temperature. Maybe there are areas in your feet you feel quite vividly, and other areas you cannot quite get a sense of what they feel like a sense of numbness or absent of sensation. And again, that's absolutely fine. Do not practice to feel anything in any particular way. Just practice to sense into that what's already here. And while you do that, while you put your attention maybe into your feet, it might well be that then again other sensations come up in the body to draw attention to, or emotions come up, thoughts come up. And again, just noticing what came up for you and then gently guiding attention back to the sensation in the feet now. And then the last anchor I'd like to invite you to explore or to get to know is the world of sounds. And especially if we feel like inside the body that's not right now a comfortable place to be for whatever reasons, sounds can be something which feels somewhat comforting. Or it feels easier to bring attention to that. And to just maybe first notice in the room where you're sitting, which sounds are there? Maybe there's a clock ticking, or humming of some electronical devices. And then maybe what is there outside of the room you're sitting in, either in the rest of the house or even outside the house. And the invitation is not so much getting involved in thoughts or stories about the sounds you hear, but rather move into the sound itself, the quality, maybe the volume, intensity, and noticing if there are in fact any thoughts which come up when you hear the sound. And how's it to kind of zoom into the sound furthest away from where you are? Far away. And how is it maybe to notice the most quiet sound you can just still hear. And some sounds you might immediately have a sense of liking or disliking to them. Or some sounds might be somewhat neutral. And again, just noticing that it comes up when you hear a certain sound. And then maybe just noticing some sounds inside you. There might be sounds of breathing or movements inside of digesting. And after we've explored now these different anchors, the invitation is to just go back to that anchor which had somewhat most comfort for you, which felt most comfortable. And the invitation is just for the next couple of moments before I ring the bell to just stay with that anchor and as best as you can, leave the focus of attention on that anchor. And every time you notice there's thoughts coming, emotions coming, other body sensations coming, just noticing them and then returning to that anchor you've chosen. And maybe here or there is a sense of spaciousness joining you in your practice. Like even maybe noticing the gaps between thoughts or maybe noticing like a sense of stillness within you. If that is the case, and if that's not the case, that's also absolutely fine. And actually, I forgot to mention that I was going to read a little poem to close our practice together. And again, the invitation is to listen to it if you want to. But as well, if you don't want to, that's fine. Just stay with your anchor. And if you decide to listen to it, maybe you just also like to notice what comes up with it while you listen to it. Not just in the realm of thoughts, but also in the body and the emotions, whatever it might be. And the poem is called There's a Place by Lauren Roche. There is a place in the heart where everything meets. Go there if you want to find me. Mind, senses, soul, eternity, all are there. Are you there? Enter the bowl of vastness that is the heart. Give yourself to it with total abandon. Quiet ecstasy is there, and a steady, regal sense of resting in a perfect spot. Once you know the way, the nature of attention will call you to return again and again, and be saturated with knowing. I belong here. I am at home here. So now I'm gonna ring the bell, and the invitation to you is to, if your eyes were closed, to open them again, to have a stretch, to have a sip of water, to move the body again. And then I'm looking forward to your questions and comments and shares. Thank you, everyone, for sharing this practice. Yeah, and then you're welcome to share from your experience with the practice, to put into words what you experienced, or to share anything else you feel moved to share. Mahima, you want to call on yourself? Since you're the leader.
I actually took a nap, and I have been such hyperactive for since morning. So thank you for the meditation. Am I audible?
Yes, yeah. I just, in the beginning you broke up a little bit, but I got the end.
Yeah, so. I think I took a nap, like an almost nap.
Oh, you took a nap. Okay, yes, wonderful. Thank you. Sally.
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you very much. That was really lovely, and it made me very emotional to begin with, and I really cried quite a lot, which took me by surprise, and it felt like I was crying for my inner child, and I think it felt quite a healing thing, you know, that I had compassion for my inner child. And I quite often don't have compassion for myself. So that was really lovely. Thank you.
Oh, Sally, thank you so much for sharing that, for sharing those emotions which came up. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ketcha. My name's Pam. I'm codependent. And I relate to what the previous speaker just said. I think that's the first time in living memory that I can remember feeling not tense. I found my anchor in sitting in the chair and holding the weight of my body. I found that simply amazing. And thank you so much. I'm almost moved to tears. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, Alicia, come on in.
Hi. Good day. I would say good morning. Not sure what time it is, but thank you so much, Katya, for the meditation. I definitely struggle with meditation. What typically happens is my mind will go off on tangents, and I love how when you first kind of brought us together into it, you told us it was about self-care. And I, you know, realized then that I don't even think about self-care. I'll, for example, be in this Zoom meeting and I might have to use the restroom, but I will ignore it. And it's like, wow, why am I doing that? The meditation just reminded me to pay attention to what my needs and my wants are. And I think I kind of started judging myself on that because I was like, well, in my mind, meditation, I'm shooting myself, but should be about connection to my higher power. And sometimes when I try and get in that quiet space for meditation, sometimes I can feel that connection with my higher power. I find it more in nature than when I, you know, sit down and try and force myself to connect. Anyway, I beat myself up sometimes about my lack of ability or concentration on a meditation. So this was the longest I'd ever spent trying to meditate without falling asleep or thinking about something else. So that was a goal. And I just kind of reminded me to, even if I meditate just for a few moments, a few minutes, just to get a little bit of serenity, that's better than not having any meditation at all. And anyway, thank you, Katya.
Thank you so much for your share, Lisha. You point to so many important things there, right? So this, like what comes up when we want now to practice meditation, it's like we're right confronted again with all our patterns and characteristics. So there's like a saying, you know, how on the cushion I can't remember the English now. It's like something like on the cushion, like in life. So whatever happens when we get still and what comes up in our mind and body, it's like what we're gonna meet in life as well. And, to force ourselves into a practice is, you know, like we set ourselves up to fail with that, because that is just putting another thing on our to-do list. And we all do it, you know, it's like just another thing we have now to do. We have to do now in recovery and so on and so on. And I love the invitation with the mindfulness practice is how to meet that gently and just notice that for ourselves. And then moving into that space of what is it actually like to take care of our body, you know, ourselves in that sense, to actually get ourselves ready for the practice, you know, and that's like what I believe is like, you know, in this human incarnation, we are like a vessel. And if we don't look after this, if we don't look after this body, it will be very hard to make any contact to anyone, not just higher power, you know, maybe the least, but to nature, to other people, to animals, you know, just to show up in life as presence will be very hard if I do that, what I kind of learned to do, which is like be violently self-sufficient and like push through everything until I burn out, I collapse, whatever it is. So thank you so much for bringing that into the room, Lisha. Terry.
Hi there. Thank you so much for the meditation. That was very lovely and relaxing. My question is about, well, actually, I'd just love to know if you have any thoughts or opinions on this, which is, I have been meditating for a while, I'd say for on and off for about a year to 2 years, and I start feeling comfortable with it. But then on the other side of this seesaw, sort of, the codependent tendencies will come and pull at me and kind of, I guess, pull away from my ability to stay committed to the mindfulness side and be able to just submerge myself and allow myself to disconnect from those thoughts. And it sort of starts feeling like a seesaw of me being pulled this end and that end and this end and that end. And part of me knows mindfulness has been so effective. It's been so wonderful to me. But then I guess this, it might be control issues because of the codependency and other issues of needing to have a conclusion to that thought of, just, is it working? Is it not working? Where am I in this process? So it's this kind of feeling of being lost in a little bit of limbo, pulling back and forth with this. And, yeah, I just wanted to know if you have any thoughts on that.
So beautiful what you're mentioning, Terry, and you actually said it yourself. So a part of you knows, a part of us knows what's going on. You know, part of us notice. It's sometimes also referred to like the silent listener in us. So that part which notices, and that part can notice whatever is happening. You know, if you like, pulled into thoughts around what we should do, or there should be a conclusion to this, or there should be an aim to this, or something should be coming from this because now I've been practicing for a year, or whatever it might be. And to continue to return to that part of us which knows and which sees and hears, and from that space to bring attention to notice that the other things are going on. And then we can decide what to do with that now. It's like, okay, do I actually want to gently explore that? What came up for me there? You know, which emotions are there with these thoughts, for instance? You know, when I notice that those patterns pull me out of the practice, or that wish is there that I get anywhere with the practice. You know, what emotions come up with me? What comes with that? Which emotions come up with that in the body? So we can like gently explore that to understand more of what's coming up, which will eventually also have the effect without us wanting any effect, but with eventually noticing more in everyday life where we maybe are less attentive to what's going on and less aware to what's going on, to more notice that when we like caught in that in the middle of a conversation or something like that. So we can then use that time on the cushion to notice that, and then to make a decision around, what am I going to do with that now? Am I now just noticing it and letting it subside and coming back to my anchor? Or am I going to explore a little bit what's actually coming up for me right now? You know, depending on how much capacity you may have in that very moment. Because that's also something to just keep in mind, you know, our willingness to step into this practice might be 150% even. And, you know, a lot of us being codependent, we have a lot of willingness, but our capacity might be very diminished because of everything which we have to take care of and still taking care of around us. So our capacity to actually do that, being contact, being here, might be very limited. And then again, the question, what is maybe now the best thing to take care of myself in this very moment? It might not be meditation. Does that somewhat answer your question?
Yes, thank you. That was very helpful insight from your side, so I appreciate that.
Pleasure. maybe I add something else there, just because it just came up, this kind of noticing, you know, because we're such a driven culture, just so driven to always have to perform a certain way, to reach a certain goal, to now start something like meditation where it's really not about that. Just there is no aim behind that. They, you know, there might be a motivation of like being less stressed or things like that initially, especially, but then all what we need to do is like being in this moment without having to get anywhere. And that's like very counterintuitive of to that what we are used to and what we feel like we expected, which is expected from us. So I completely also get that part of it. So there's nothing to achieve in this moment except just being here. Well, we still have a couple of minutes, but if there are no more questions, this might also be the call to exercise some self-care and maybe go to the toilet before the next talk starts, or make yourself a cup of tea. But I'm still here, so if anything still comes up, you know, within the next 10 minutes or so, I'm here.
I do have a quick question about, you called it a song bowl. I'm not sure what it was.
Singing bowl?
Singing bowl.
Yes.
Oh okay. I'm not sure where you get it. I don't know if that's an Amazon thing, but oh, wow. Was that something for me to focus on and listen to it dissipate? I enjoyed that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So, especially, I'm glad you asked about that, Leisha, because especially like, you know, so mindfulness practice as we practicing it now in the West is completely secular. That's why whatever religion you might initially have had or, you know, kind of belief you have found, it is a possibility to kind of deepen that. But in the same sense, I think it's kind of, you know, left over from like the origins of the Buddhist practices. So, yeah, it's just a thing which makes a noise in this sense. Yes, Petra.
Katja, I just want to say that it was really helpful. Also your, yeah, it did bring the awareness also to the nervous system and they could bring the connection also to the codependency, the fight, flight, fawn response, and just acknowledging a sensitive nervous system really helped me to join dots somehow. And the way you brought the invitation to the meditation was just really, it also the way you framed it you opened that invitation helped me to just allow myself to become really present and feel safe in that meditation. And even now I feel just really tingly in my body, and I guess that's a response of just feeling really safe and comfortable in my body. And it's probably a response of the nervous system of how I feel really spacious and present, which is just lovely. So just want to give you the feedback of how beautiful that you got guided that meditation. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that experience you had. that space, and especially that sense of safety, you know, that especially speaking for myself, you know, something I struggled with. And I as well, now I'm able to find a meditation. It wasn't for a long time, but now it's somewhat became my safe space, but it took a while as well. And we've got Yvonne.
I just wanted to say, I feel guilty that I fell asleep. It was so relaxing. I should not have laid down. I lay down and I was listening to your voice. Your voice sounded so soothing, and I'm not usually easy to fall asleep, but I just fell into this deep sleep and just floated away. And suddenly I came to and I was like, where am I? So is that a purpose of a meditation? Should I have fallen asleep? Is that wrong thing to do?
I love you. I love your question. Well, again, there's no right or wrong, but in the same sense is we practice meditation to actually fall awake, you know, to wake up to our experiences. Yes, exactly. But on the same note, you know, a lot of people have that experience, especially when they start off with meditation, that they fall asleep. And it's just a very natural response of our bodies to say, you know what? I need this, you know? I don't know if that's your experience, but often it is like, you know, you've pushed me to function, to work, to do all the things. Finally, you stop moving, you know, let me just grab this bit of sleep. And often people make the experience with continuous practice that changes. And I mean, if it still happens, it's also interesting to kind of start exploring that, you know, what is it, you know, what keeps happening, you know. It's like, because on the same note, falling asleep can also be a way of like spacing out, you know, and that's okay too, you know. It's just about noticing and saying, okay, that's now my body's response to this in this moment, and that's okay too, you know. And maybe then it's like experimenting with that, maybe sitting up, or maybe doing movement instead of sitting meditation, you know, like moving the body gently and just noticing what that feels like. And that's the beauty of it. For the practice, we can practice in all sorts of modi, you know, their own formats. Coming to a CODA meeting and listening to shares is a kind of practice, you know, to be really being there and being aware of what people are sharing and listening deeply with the heart. So that's all open, and it doesn't have to be lying down or sitting down.
I suppose it's been quite an intense day, listening for hours on end. So I'm just wondering how many other people just fell asleep. You know, like my body needed it. My mind needed it. I was, just, you know, overloaded in my mind. Just so much to take in for the whole day. Let go, and you know. So, but I felt guilty to admit that I had fallen asleep, and I felt ashamed about it.
I'm so glad you're voicing that. You know, I'm so glad you're putting that in the room, because I can imagine a lot of people might have a similar experience, you know, where it comes to, I should do this a different way. You know, that's what's not supposed to happen. So, yeah, thank you so much for sharing that and just noticing that for yourself. And then noticing, okay, it's time to take care of myself. You know, it's been a lot. It's been a long day. It's been a lot of stuff to take in.
Thank you. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you. Sheila.
Good morning. I just woke up from trying to sleep. I've been laying in bed for an hour. It's 4:20 my time in the morning. And I was laying there thinking I should wake up and turn the conference back on. But let me try it. Let me sleep. And finally I got up, and it must have been at the end of your meditation, because people were sharing about their experience. I'm like, dang it, I should have woke up. I should have got up and turned it on. I hope this isn't crosstalk. And if it is, I apologize. My intent is to share some feedback. yesterday I did attend a few meetings, and Yvonne, you shared at one of the meetings, and I just want to say that your aura, your face, your countenance, however you say it, is so it's different this time. Like, I've never met you before, the lady that just spoke, but I want to just share that how beautiful it is for you to share that experience with us in a safe place, and that you look different. You know, you look calmer and peaceful, and that just excited me when you were sharing. You know, I you sounded like me trying to beat myself up for not doing meditation perfectly and my expectations, but I just wanted to say that it gives me permission not to be perfect and to see how it worked anyways. You know, you slept, your body needed to sleep. I mean, I can't imagine sitting here hours and hours on end and not falling asleep. So I just wanted to say thanks for creating this safe space. And I hope that I can listen to the recording somewhere, somehow, someday, because it sounds beautiful. And I have such gratitude with these tools that we have. You know, they're endless if we want. I was writing some notes by your feedback. You know, maybe we might not have the capacity. It's like, wow, there's so many things that I can do to gently tell myself that it's okay. You know, thanks for listening. Glad I'm here.
Thank you. Okay. Then, Mahima, may I hand over to you again?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Everyone. That was very relaxing session. Okay, as we are closing the session, would someone please like to read the promises? And they should be up in your screen.